places in the last 16 of Euro 2020 continue to be grabbed, and at least two more will be awarded as Group D reaches its conclusion. This section is wide open, with England and the Czech Republic on 4 points apiece and set to play each other at Wembley. Scotland do battle with Croatia at Hampden, both sides having claimed a solitary point. The Teddy Sheringham to my Alan Shearer, Mark O'Hare is here with all the best bets. Mark, before we get going with today's games, we haven't had a chance until now to reflect on one of the worst tournament dark horses of all time, Turkey. Three games, no points, one goal scored. I was as guilty as anyone of tipping them to do well. What the hell went wrong?
Wow, how long have you got?
20 minutes, away you go.
It's hard to surmise really what did go wrong. I know back home in Turkey, they've pointed the finger at Senol Güneş, at his tactics, at his selection, but at the same time, the players need a responsibility as well. Certainly some of the key players in central defence, even Hakan Çalhanoğlu, didn't really perform to the best of his ability. Burak Yılmaz looked isolated. But what was, I kind of, what upset me most about Turkey's performance was just the lack of passion, the lack of bravery on the ball. There's very few positives to take out of Turkey's three performances. And you would have to bracket them as one of the worst performers at a major tournament. Certainly in the Euros, by my memory. I know Ireland did put in a desperate showing in, was it 2012? But you know, Ireland were in a very difficult group back then, but Turkey were expected to perform reasonably well, perform and get into the knockout stages. And I think that's what's quite so shocking. They did come into the tournament with a ropey defence, conceding goals left, right and centre. And we talked about a few of those games back in March in the World Cup qualifiers where potentially those results were slightly more kind and generous on them than the outcome suggested. But even still, none of us really foresaw this. They had the makings of a good team, a competitive team. And they were just so far apart from that. It was really quite upsetting to see because, they were dark horses, and I know a lot of people had them in that bracket too. So, a massive shame.
Yeah, very disappointing indeed. Off to the knacker's yard with that particular dark horse. Delighted to say that the thinking man's trader, Jason Murphy, is back with us. Jason, let's kick off with Scotland against Croatia. Now, Scotland are the outsiders here at 3.05, Croatia 2.4 on the exchange. How do you see this one? Because it's a must-win game for both. Draws are no good here. You kind of have to go for it.
Absolutely, yeah. Draws just knock each other out. And that's why my eye was kind of caught a little bit with the over 2.5 goals at 2.06 to back might be my best bet for this game. Just with that, if a team does go a goal up, the other team's going to have to come out and play. That leaves the other team more open then at the back, potential to see goals in it. It's fascinating to see the prices on it. So pre-tournament, as in, say, the 10th of June before, you know, Italy kicked it all off on the Friday night then, Scotland were 4.86 to win this match. Before they played England, it had shortened into 3.83. And then by the end of the England game, Scotland were backed into 2.92 to beat Croatia. So maybe a few of the Scottish lads sobered up by Saturday morning and we've seen it drift slightly back out to about 3.1. Now, obviously, at time of recording, the news on Billy Gilmore contracting COVID, hopefully he'll be okay. And we've seen another small drift then as we're recording, as in that 3.1, it's drifting out to 3.25. He obviously had a really good performance, given his age. You always have to be careful when people are rating performances. Age is a massive driver, but really shouldn't be taken into consideration. If you're good enough, you're old enough. But in terms of judging his performance, in terms of his age, okay, let's just be careful with the narrative and not get too carried away. He will be a bit of a loss in terms of Steve Clarke. What is his options? What's he going to line up with? Because I was delighted on Friday night when we seen, I was working, I was on the call with a few lads that are working as well. And when we seen that Scotland lineup, we thought, brilliant, this is made for an end-to-end game with a bit of action. And we seen that, didn't see the goals, back the overs as well on that. But the XG suggested that the overs possibly should have clicked, and on the eye test, they should have. But if he's going to be aggressive again, Steve Clarke, and I think he will, Che Adams and Dykes starting up top, the two wing-backs, O'Donnell and Robertson, given the width, given that offensive down the flanks, like, it's going to be a cracking game against Croatia. I think Billy Gilmore being ruled out now shouldn't change the formation. He should try and go with that again and just go for it. The great thing is, for Scottish fans, we don't know how Group B or Group C has finished up yet. But if Scotland win this game, even if they win it 1-0, we make them 95% chance that they get out of group. Reason being, they'll be on 4 points, and out of the other groups, we reckon that at least two of the third place teams are going to finish on 3 points. So a 1-0 win really does it for Scotland. Win by two or more, and they will surpass Switzerland. Makes it more likely, it's almost guaranteed that they're in the knockout stages if they win by two or more. But look, maybe I'm still a bit drunk from Friday night if I was out with those Scottish fans, so jealous looking at the scenes. But if we're going to sober up, beating this Croatian side by two or more goals would be one of the greatest Scottish performances ever, because there are no walkovers. And Croatia, like, let's not forget, I know they're missing a few from the World Cup, but they're still beating finalists from a very recent World Cup. So the best bet really I'd give you for this is back the overs, enjoy the game. And if you wanted a goal scorer, I'd have a look at Perisic, just purely because of the way he took the goal the other day. Quick free kick. Love lads thinking on their feet, quick free kick, but he still had a lot to do. But once he got the ball, there was only one thing he was going to do. Some people blaming Valček in the goal for almost going with it with his fist. But lads, he could have gone with it with anything. He wasn't going to stop that shot.
It's a great goal.
Perisic.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said, it's one of my favourite goals. I know we've seen some crackers, but the quick thinking and then to do what he did, it didn't matter what the defender did. He had no choice in the matter. So 7-1 Perisic on the sports book. You'll get a bit bigger on the exchange. But this is what we're looking for. There's going to be a bit of drama one way or the other in this game.
Mark, this is really interesting because, as Jason says, I like the look of the overs as well, because you have to go for it. You've got no choice at this stage. If you'd asked me pre-tournament who I thought man for man was the better team out of Croatia and Czech Republic, I'd have gone for Croatia. And I know they've put in two fairly disappointing displays so far, but you still have incredible quality. Guys who've won Serie A recently, guys who've played in World Cup final. Luka Modric is one of the best midfielders we've seen in the game in the last few years. So Scotland should be the outsiders here, shouldn't they? Even though they're at home, they should be the outsiders. It's a quality team they're facing.
Yeah, it is. It's not the team that played in the World Cup final. They definitely have regressed. They're an ageing team and they're just going through a bit of a cycle at the moment. I do think there's massive weaknesses in that Croatian team, but on paper, as you say, man-to-man, they are the better team. But the interesting word you said there is team. Are they a better team than Scotland right now? And I think that's a debatable point, because Scotland are a wonderful team. They have got some quality individuals themselves, but Steve Clarke has turned them around magnificently well from, you know, go back to before his time when they lost to Kazakhstan and then failed to really inspire against San Marino. They were at rock bottom. Players didn't want to play for the national team, and he's managed to turn that around in 18 months. And the performance against England was superb, really, from a Scottish perspective. And Steve Clarke has got history of masterminding really good performances as big underdogs. You couldn't pick really any holes in his tactics or selection at Wembley. I thought they embraced the occasion, relished it. And there's a sense of professionalism now about how they go about their business. So, yeah, I do like them. I don't really like the price. I completely agree with Jason. The way to play this is go down the goals route because of the jeopardy, the desperation. I think the second half could be really quite exciting and quite fun to watch. And seeing overs at odds against really does appeal. Third round group games tend to average, I think, 2.62 goals per game. Over 2.5 goals has got a better than 50% hit rate. And most of those games, or some of those games, will be featuring two teams with little to play for. This game is, you know, win or bust, really. So I am quite excited towards this. I just wonder what Croatia are going to do in terms of a team selection. Zlatko Dijk has been vilified, really, for not just this tournament, but for 6 months or so, for selecting Ante Rebic as a central striker. You're not getting the best out of him individually or collectively as a team either. So I am expecting changes. Vlasic has been their form player for 2 years, has barely had a look in the number 10 role. They have been really quite inspiring. But defensively, you look at that team, particularly down the centre of Lovren, Shelitasar and Vida, whoever gets the nod there. I can see Lyndon Dykes putting them under huge pressure, Shea Adams picking up the loose balls. This is a real good chance for Scotland. They've had 20 attempts from inside the penalty area across their first two games. They have had chances. They have to score. I think they're one of the only teams yet to score in the competition. I do expect them to score. Croatia have kept 5 clean sheets since the World Cup final. That's 23 competitive games. Even Azerbaijan scored home and away against them in qualifying. So I expect Scotland to score, and I expect a fun game with plenty of goals. So yeah, overs as well.
Now, we know how frustrating it is when you get frozen out of a bet. So during the Euros, Betfair is offering no cash out suspensions on match odds markets on the sportsbook, even during VAR reviews or when there's a penalty. Now, England are up against the Czech Republic at Wembley. England, the 1.63 favourites on the exchange, with the Czechs 8.2. I was actually at Wembley the last time these two sides met at the home of English football, and England steamrolled them 5-0. That was just over 2 years ago. But Jason, we're not going to see a gap like that this time, are we? Because England were deeply uninspired, I thought, against Scotland, and the Czechs have been much better than some expected.
Yeah, and the reverse game to that game you alluded to, the Czechs actually won 2-1 in Prague, with England having about five or six potential starters that will start this game. It's fascinating to watch the prices move on it. So pre-tournament, the draw for this was about 4.6. Prior to England playing Scotland the other night, it had been backed into about 4.2. And then after the results Friday night, it was into 3.2, which was really, really short. But it's drifted out to 3.7 now, which is more accurate. The reason it was backed into 3.2 was the potential for a gentleman's agreement that England and Czech Republic would take a point each and move on. But that cannot happen for Gareth Southgate. First of all, we've seen how bad the reaction was for what wasn't a surprising result, as in it can't happen that you just get a 0-0 draw against a Scottish team that the conditions were right for them. They played a great game. They were set up great. These things happen. These results happen in football. It's a low-scoring game. But really, the reason England can't settle for a draw here is because the difference between winning the group and finishing second in the group is quite significant in terms of winning the tournament. England aren't here to get to quarterfinals and, you know, say that's a success. They have to win the tournament. At the moment, on the exchange, England are 10.0 to win it. That's 9-1. If they top the group, given the route that they'll have, that'll shorten into about 15-2. But if they finish second, that drifts out to about 12-1. It's in terms of probabilities, it's probably a 2% swing in terms of their chances winning the tournament. But in a game of inches, like, that's absolutely massive as well at the same time. The reason the difference in those prices are, if they finish second, let's say they'll meet France and Spain, either route that they go, let's say last 16 quarterfinals. Meeting France in a last 16 at Wembley is very, very different to meeting France in a quarterfinal, potentially in St. Petersburg. But if they top the group, like I said, playing France at Wembley is massive. They'd only have to travel once to play Spain in Rome, potentially, in the quarterfinals. But they're on the easier side of the half. The Netherlands have potentially a really easy run to the semi-finals. So if you said to England, like, topping this group, if you get to the semi-finals, it's likely to play Netherlands at Wembley. That's a fantastic opportunity for them. So not only to stop Southgate getting pillared in the press, to have a chance to improve your chance to win this tournament, they have to win this match. Now, question is, will they? To be honest, I'm a little bit reluctant at the prices to get involved. Czech Republic have improved a lot in the last 2 years. We've seen the lads in the Premier League. It's obvious Suchek, Kufal, Patrick Schick is definitely on form. I thought they were lucky with that penalty they got against Croatia. I mean, it's one of those grey areas where if it happens on the halfway line and it's a free kick and a yellow card, you don't think twice about it. But I thought it was very unlucky.
It's not a pen, Jason. I'm with you. I don't think it's a pen. I don't think he's looking at him. I think he's just using his arms to get up. He doesn't swing it towards the player. I wouldn't have given a penalty for that.
Yeah, there's a lot of fouls given where the defender, it's not intentional what to do, but it's still a foul what you've done. And like I say, on the halfway line, if that was given as a free kick, we wouldn't think twice about it. But it seemed very, very harsh as a penalty.
Yeah.
For the exact same actions incidents. And I agree with you. I don't think it should have been a penalty. I don't think it should have been a foul, but I can see why it might be, particularly in the halfway line. But it's just very, very harsh to give it. But in terms of this match, I think it's very hard to get involved in the match prices. The best bet or tip I give you is if you fancy England to win it, I think the 10.0, the 9-1 on the exchange at the moment is too big. So rather than backing England to win this match, have a bet on that and potentially get a bit of value for the tournament out of that bet, where England might go on a run similar to 2018 on the easier side of the draw and see what happens in the semi-final if they were to get that far.
Yeah, Mark Jason's absolutely right to point out that drift that England have experienced in the outright winner market. And he's right. If they get this win, if they win the group, it then comes down to what we've said all along, which is this last 16 tie. If you win that, that might be the hardest test they have before the final.
Yeah, it does make me smile when I see all the comments about England trying to plot their route to the final and which route is the easiest and we should try and finish second. It's absolute nonsense. Just win the group, because then you've got Wembley pretty much the whole way through. But why would you give up that advantage to potentially have an easier last 16 tie and run into France in the quarters at a neutral venue? Like, it makes no sense. It's too short-termism to me. So I completely, wholeheartedly agree with everything you guys have said. From an England perspective, they need to put in a performance here. Any sort of momentum which was built up, and I think the Croatian win was overblown a bit, but so too was the reaction to the Scotland draw. England still have 4 points on the board. They're unbeaten. They haven't conceded the goal. There's still a lot to work from there. But, you know, to try and get the momentum back into the England, they need to get a decent performance and a decent result against the Czech Republic. Against Scotland, I just wonder whether Southgate's temperament and his obsession with keeping players grounded and collected and humble may have worked against England, because they didn't seem to play the occasion quite like Scotland did. Occasionally, you do need a bit of personality and bravery and a bit of battle, which I didn't see in England. It's like they prepared to play Sweden or Switzerland rather than Scotland, and they were passive and laboured, and they need a reaction here. I think they will get it, and I think they will get the 3 points, but because the Czechs already have points on the board, they are awkward, they are better than the sum of their parts, they are difficult to beat. This is a historic fixture for them too, and they're not going to just roll over. I don't expect them to make sweeping changes either, but England are better than Czech Republic, particularly at Wembley, and it's very rare you're going to get a price on England at 1.63 at home to the Czechs in a major tournament like this. So I think the kind of drift on England has gone a bit too far. I still think they'll get the win. The Czechs have had the rub of the green against Scotland with Schick's finishing and Croatia with the penalty too. So if England play close to their best, they win this match. So I looked at the exchange and you get England to win and under 3.5 goals at 2.14, which did appeal to me. I don't see it being a blowout win, but I do see England winning, I wouldn't say convincingly, but with potentially a bit of room to spare.
And of course, you can double up an England win in lots of different ways with the Bet Builder on the Sportsbook. And our fantastic multiples offer will be running every day throughout the Euros. Bet £20 on multiples or Bet Builders and receive a £5 free bet to use on multiples or Bet Builders. T's and C's apply. Well, now it's time for the podcast treble. A little bit different because we've got just the two games. We'll each pick a selection and Jason then goes away and he instructs his trading pixies to turn them into a boosted treble for us. I'll start by throwing in an England win. Mark, this is a bit trickier than usual.
I'm going to take over 2.5 goals at Croatia. Good luck, Jason.
Oh, he stitched Jason up a tree. Jason was just about to swing in with that one. So now Jason's got to find the third selection.
Last time we set up an open goal for someone here, I think, was France to be hungry, and I think that hit the post, didn't it?
I think I ballooned that one miles over the bar, as I recall.
I think we're all going to pull the trigger on that, but someone got to the ball first. Yeah, look, based on, I fully agree with everything that Mark has said, and I think we'll go with the under 3.5 goals in the England-Czech Republic game. We'll combine that as a treble. I will just say one thing. In Ireland's defence in Euro 2012, we were in a group with Italy and Spain and Croatia. Italy and Spain got to the final. Croatia, that team went on to be World Cup finalists eventually. No disrespect to Wales or Switzerland, but I don't see them getting to the final or being World Cup finalists. So I think Turkey's performance as dark horses was definitely one of the worst European Championship performances we've seen. And I can guarantee you no one was talking about Ireland being dark horses for that tournament. but disappointing on Turkey for a lot of people there that were definitely the most popular backed dark horse for this tournament.
What I love is that Jason waited almost the entire show to set the record straight, but set that record straight he did. Don't forget to check out the Daily Boosted Treble on the Sportsbook, where you can boost the odds even further with your odds boost token. T's and C's apply. That's all we have time for on Football Only Better. Please do remember to gamble responsibly. If you enjoyed the show, leave us a nice review with your usual podcast provider. From Mark, from Jason, and from me, it's goodbye for now. We'll be right back.